This is Bill Brenner for SearchSecurity.com. You're listening to our Security Wire Weekly podcast for September 19th, 2007. This week, I talked to University of Washington CISO Kirk Bailey about Agora, an alliance of IT security professionals he founded. Also, look at how attackers may be exploiting the widgets web users take for granted. We begin with warnings about a new flaw in Microsoft Windows. Attackers could exploit a newly discovered security flaw in Microsoft Windows to run malicious code on targeted computers, several security firms warned this week. The news comes a week after Microsoft released its monthly batch of security updates, and no fix is available in this case. Jonathan Sarba of the Goodfellas security research team discovered the flaw in the MFC 42 and MFC 71 libraries offered natively in Windows. Danish vulnerability clearinghouse Secunia said it was able to independently confirm the flaw on a fully patched Windows XP SP2 machine with MFC 42 DLL version 624131.0 and MFC 42 U.DLL version 628071.0. Until a patch is available, Secunia recommends users restrict access to applications allowing user-controlled input to be passed to the vulnerable function. Also, Secunia said, IT shops should make sure applications using the vulnerable library check the length of the user input before passing it to the affected function. It all started with the simple realization that you can't build a security program with a stack of textbooks and a few classes. To keep up to date on the latest security threats and defenses, University of Washington CISO Kirk Bailey decided that a regular summit of his peers was in order. That's how he came up with the idea for a high-level meeting of the minds known as Agora. Today, Agora holds a quarterly summit at the University of Washington with 200 to 300 IT security professionals typically in attendance. Meanwhile, Agora's mailing list has grown to up to 1,500 people, and the quarterly meetings have been a launching pad for additional side gatherings. Bailey recently sat down with me to talk about Agora's origins and how IT security pros can benefit from the program today. Talk about the goal of Agora and how the organization got started.
First of all, the Agora really isn't anything. It's just an association, a network of professionals that have learned to work together in a very useful and thoughtful way. From my perspective, it's a natural outgrowth. It's a practical thing. It's for my money, for me being able to do my job, it's a necessity. And how it stands apart from traditional security organizations, which most people are tempted to think about, is that it was formed with some urgency, with no thought about any organizational structure, without any desire to perpetuate it, without any strong sense of ownership or identity with it. You know, we weren't worried about branding or organizational structure or files or who's in charge or any of those things. The reason we brought it together is that there were a few of us who were looking down the immediate future of our jobs as security professionals and seeing that the challenges were becoming overwhelming in terms of remaining isolated and insular with our own particular organizations and missions. So at the time, I was working in a large healthcare insurance organization, and I was accountable for a 1.5 million people's medical records at the time, and I had a very strong sense of duty associated with that. I had a very immediate a sense of urgency around it because family and friends were actually associated with those records. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't taking it lightly. And I wanted to be successful, as everybody does in this field. And what happened was I began to realize that I needed help in understanding what my strategic options were, or what my strategic plan might need to be to cope with the evolving threat spectrums that we could forecast in the future, the immediacy of tactical responses to pressures in the industry to expand the one-on-one, one-to-one communications and technologies that were evolving. And I realized very quickly that the best source of information wasn't from the textbooks and from reading other traditional resources. It was from other people who had the same job. that my best bet to find out how to do my job was to talk to my peers, mm-hmm. who were in the industry itself. So the problem with that is in the old days, when I was first floundering around in this field, the security professionals often are at the heart of the core business of any enterprise. They by nature, by default, know all trade secrets. They protect the economic computing engine, the computing engines, the missions, the technology missions that support all the economic engines, the profit systems that drive the success of an organization. And if security professionals were to get together and ask, if I were to get together with one of my peers in a competing insurance company and ask, how are you handling, let's say, a membership system or a client system? What kind of problems are you facing? And they could disclose features or development activities they have underway that reveal a market advantage they're trying to establish. So there was a lot of reticence about bringing people together to talk about these things. Mm-hmm. So I went to my boss at the time and said, look, I think, despite that, I think we need to do this. I think we need to get together with peers and other people who might be able to help me, and the only people I can think of would be my immediately the ones right in the same market space.
You meet quarterly, do you?
Yes, we do. So anyway, we got together and we started meeting, and we realized it had lots more value than just that kind of thing. So we started meeting quarterly. Actually, for a while there, we met a little more frequently than quarterly, but now we meet quarterly. Mm-hmm. And the quarterly meeting actually goes far beyond that. The quarterly meeting is actually sort of a fun networking get-together that is often surrounded by additional meetings, mm-hmm. get-togethers, frequently over beer.
Where do you have them? Does it rotate, or
it's usually where I'm working. My employer hosts it. It usually is. Right now, we're hosting them at the University of Washington. We've had them at the Seattle University, a nearby institution near downtown. We've had them at the Regents Building. We've had them once in a hotel. But for the last 2 years, have been meeting at the University of Washington, and that's for the quarterly meetings. And we typically draw the average group is between somewhere between 200 and 300 people a meeting now. And it changes based on the time of year and the weather and stuff like that. But the mailing list, the people we contact about information for the AGOR meeting, now is the total number of people that get contacted through a variety of sources is roughly, I would guess, 1,000 to 1,500, depending upon who gets the mailing out in time or the announcement out on time. Mm-hmm. We have a primary mailing list for U.S. Postal Service that hosts 500 to 600 people by now, I think. And then we have some people want notification via email, so we have a spam gun, an Agora notice that goes out through email to another 200 or so people, maybe. And then I send it to a couple of affiliated organizations in Canada, and then it's distributed through a couple of other places that send it to students or other people associated with the industry that have asked and requested to be participating in it. Mm-hmm. So that's the number of people. It's a nice cross cut of the industry. We get wonderful diversity at the meeting. We have often a good portion of the audience flying in from out of state. which is always delightful.
How many people on average again?
I know you just about 250 to 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, I'd say 200 to 250 is almost always guaranteed now,
mm-hmm.
and we've spiked as high as 300. And this is just for the meeting, the morning meeting on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we try very hard at those meetings to make sure we have long breaks. We want to network. This is where I invite people who are interested in getting involved in the field to come, and I tell them that their mission at that is to not only enjoy the information that's being shared at the podium, but to spend time networking and talking to people and finding others that they can be mentored by or share information with that is useful to their particular needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. The atmosphere is fun. We try not to make it. We've made it a habit of not allowing vendors to be involved. It's mostly practitioners, although vendors can come. But there's nobody's allowed to sell anything or try and chirp up with that kind of a presentation. We try to make it just information. We have a lot of influential and interesting people who arrive, and the beauty of it is everybody tends to strip their titles, their positions, and their egos at the doors, and they waltz in, and everybody tries to help one another on a one-to-one basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun.
Next, cyberspace faces a growing threat from attackers who are able to compromise computers through flaws in widgets, add-on tools that allow users to do more with their various web applications. That warning comes in a new report from FinnGen about web security trends. The report, prepared by FinnGen's Malicious Code Research Center, claims widgets are packed with flaws the digital underground will easily learn to find and exploit. FinnGen found in its research that widget environments from operating systems to third-party applications are plagued with inadequate security models that allow malicious widgets to run. The firm also found vulnerable widgets in programs from the likes of Microsoft, Yahoo, and MySpace. In fact, the company said, Microsoft and Yahoo have already released security advisories and patches to address some of the problems it found. FinnGen said IT shops should try wherever possible to minimize the use of third-party widgets and stick with those provided by bigger vendors like Microsoft or Google, because such organizations are more likely to find and patch problems in their widgets. It's also important for IT pros to inspect the content a widget is using. That's it for this week. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts, featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.